You know, as we continue our, like I said, this year I really feel like the Lord has placed discipleship on my heart. And to me, discipleship is sharing my life with other people. I liked what I heard a pastor say once when I had him speak in Copenhagen. You can disciple an unbeliever closer to God. You know, you don't always have to seal the deal, nor will you always. But we tell people the Lord, and we got to look to disciple. You know, I mentioned the character in the back is named Pete Southcott, and he used to be a pastor on staff with me here. I started preaching 33 years ago. And I remember when I was nervous what he told me, Dick, God used Balaam's donkey, he can use you. Now, I told you that recently. I mean, how, you know, to me, that's just encouragement. And it just helps us. He's also said, you know, if it was just about salvation, we'd have a Bible in one hand and a shotgun in the other. So we're talking about discipleship and we're talking about growing forward. And I'm going to tell you, if we have many more snow days, I'm taking out about 8 rolls because there's my wife and 15 rolls and some other people. Y'all chickens. Anyways, so today I'm talking about starting forever. Today, I'm starting the rest of my life with Jesus Christ. I can't relive yesterday. So we have to be eternally minded and we have to look to the Lord. I like the song we sang, you know, I know who I am. I was made for more. Well, guess what? We're made for more, but it's not a given. It's not an automatic. You know, Ephesians, Paul writes, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, let that be us. When I gave my life to you so many years ago, Lord, my desire to sin did not cease. If I was going to summarize what Paul is saying is, after we have relationship with you, Jesus, are we going to give ourselves over to sensuality or are we going to spiritually connect to you? We can't be run by desires or emotions, Lord. We have to allow your word to teach us how to live. We can't give in to the old way of life, Father. It's not that you want us to be stuck in a room and live boring lives. But true joy, true fulfillment comes when we give ourselves over to you and allow you to dictate how we are to live and how we are to move forward, God. So I pray that, you know what? You would talk to us today, Lord. Oh, you are. Let us listen. Out with the old and in with the new. Do you know what they call the second Friday in January? Quitter's Day. Because a lot of people quit their resolutions by then. 88% of people by the end of January stop their New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's kind of obvious. Forever is a long time. In fact, it's kind of forever. We need to have a mindset of eternity. We don't have a mindset of a Oswego. Like when I was shoveling and snow blowing early this morning, I remember this video I saw this week where this lady's in New York and she's shoveling saying, we don't get tornadoes, we don't get hurricanes, and she keeps shoveling. Well, as I'm snow blowing today, I said, you know what, maybe I want to roll the dice. Moved down south, and I've already looked it up online. You can buy this hurricane shelter, tornado shelter, and what you do is you bolt it. It's like a 10 by 10 room. You bolt into your basement, and if anything comes, you live there. And if your house falls in, it ain't gonna crush the place. Now, don't worry. Well, some of you, this might sadden you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm called to be a frozen chosen, and I accept that. But a key element in growing in Jesus Christ is we need to keep the right perspective. To navigate life as a Christian, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes in the Word, and we have to commit to it. So in Ephesians 4, what Paul's saying is, you know what? Discipleship requires something from you. It takes effort. It takes commitment. It takes moving forward. We need to be diligent in the choices that we make in life. One of the hardest things I see as a pastor is people that you might work with or you might know, and they get lured back into the former stuff, and it's only one step at a time. But pretty soon, then Jesus isn't really on their radar. Why? Because you don't keep your antennas up and you don't stay close to Christ. So what we need to think about today is we need to embrace Jesus and we need to engage in the Christian life. Point number one, we need to live a life that reflects the character of Jesus Christ. Now I'm talking, I like the first verse in this chapter, Paul writes, Philippians 4:1, I hope it's Philippians and not Ephesians. Anyways, what he writes, and it is Paul, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord. Now that's what we have to be. I have to be a prisoner for Jesus Christ, which means I don't belong to myself any longer. I have to do what God calls me to do. I have to live what God calls me to where to live. And he goes, you know, to urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the call into which you have been called. As a Christian, my life needs to look differently than the life of people that aren't Christians. And don't believe the lie where you kind of got to give in a little bit so you fit in. No, you know what I have found? When I live at a different standard than they do, when it hits the fan, they come to me because they know something is different. So we're called to live differently. You know, Ephesians 4:17 says, don't walk as the Gentiles do. And don't walk as people that don't know Jesus. Don't try to mirror them. They walk in the futility of their minds. And when I think about what Paul's writing about in Ephesians, to me it mirrors baptism. Now, I remember the summer of 1981. We're newlyweds, we're out at Ontario Bible Camp, and our pastor, Paul Wagner, has about 20 people he's going to baptize. And I'm thinking, Lord, let us go last. So we went in the back and hid. And Paul goes, Dick and Melody Beaumont, come on down. And I'm thinking, the man is going to know how much I weigh now. I mean, really spiritual stuff, you know? But he dunks me in the water. The dead. My old self was gone. And he raised me up. That's what Paul's talking about. Live. Be committed to this life. That when I embrace Christ and I got baptized, I need to think differently. I need to act differently. I need to behave differently. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about being controlling. I'm not talking about being boring, but I'm talking about Romans 12, which says we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. I reference the Christian school. Teachers could make more at Walmart than they do at our Christian school. I remember years ago when Dave Preddy was the principal. He had heart surgery, so I had to be the afternoon principal. So we had a Wednesday night meeting. I was starting the next day, and I got a text from this furious mother, Mama Bear, because of some story the kindergarten teacher read about Christmas. And I'm thinking, I'm not even in the books yet, and you're talking to me. And I gotta be honest, if you do that job, if you're a pastor or anything without God's calling, you're a fool. Because you don't have the grace. But these people do it because they sacrifice their life to Christ and they go, yes, I could make more there, but God has called me to do this. It's sacrificial to live for Jesus Christ. And that's not a word that the church likes to hear. Self-denial. The world ain't going to tell you that. It goes against the grain of society. Salvation's free. Discipleship costs you everything. You know, we think, well, what's in it for me? Again, starting forever. I want to practice on this side of my death what my life's going to be like on the other side of my death. And Jesus says, when we lose our lives for him, we gain it all. But when we keep it to ourselves, we lose it. We lose it all. One of the biggest detriments I had when I was a young Christian, we're newlyweds, I'm in college, was I didn't want to be boring. I didn't want to give everything up and just and live a sequestered life. But then God showed me more and more, as the sun sets you're free indeed. And the more I just said, man, Jesus came, I had a joy I never had before. I had a joy that relationships couldn't give me, that drugs couldn't give me, that alcohol couldn't give me. That was short-lived. I had the joy of the Lord. And you know what? You can do anything to me, but you can't take my Jesus. And you know what's cool? Even when life really, you're going through the storms, as we sang about today, you got Jesus. And one of the things, meeting with people and family that don't know the Lord over the holiday season, you just want to slap them. Because it breaks my heart that they're living without Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to know how great he is. You know, Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we will know what God's will is. You know, people have asked me before, how can we talk about sexuality a lot? In this society, how can you not? I can't watch, old people must watch TV at night. Because the one show we watch is NCIS. My wife's not a TV fan. There's like 18 drug commercials on CBS between 9 o'clock at night on Monday and 10 o'clock. So I'm thinking, it must be a bunch of old people that watch this and need drugs. Medication. But then you see alternative lifestyles promoted. Why do we talk about sexuality? Because we're sexual beings and the devil has stolen it. I won't go there because I'd get in trouble. We love everybody, but we don't approve of their sin. We need to be transformed. If you're not in the Word of God, society is going to make sense to you. Hearing sports people, I love sports, but I am so tired of them thinking they need to talk to me about how I should live, who I should accept, who I should vote for. Shut up, dribble the basketball, and don't talk. There's some Golden Globes or Emmys or some TV show coming up, and there's a guy, Ricky, I can't remember his last name, and it was so cool when he did it a couple years ago. Now, he's not a Christian, and he doesn't live the lifestyle I promote. He basically, in his monologue for 5 minutes, ripped Hollywood apart and saying, you really think you know what you're talking about? You really think people want you to come up here and get this award and tell us what you think about politics? Get your award, bow, shut up, and go sit down. And I thought, that's great. Because I don't want your opinions. We need to live our lives lives alienated from God. All of a sudden, they live in the dark. We need to be careful what we focus on. Like at Christmas, every year, my wife makes these really cool peanut butter balls. Well, unfortunately, last year, my grandson decided, hey, I like these. So you can't just give them a few. Now you got to include the little tyke. So my daughter and her husband, they go to, you get one a day. And I think, I'm glad you're not my parents. Why? Because they don't want him focusing on just junk. You know, they went through a season when you ever show up, he goes, hey, you got a present for me? So they nipped that in the bud and said, don't visit with presents anymore. Not till his birthday, not till Christmas. Because they're training him, it ain't about you, son. Yes, there's pleasurable things in life, like Sunday morning when you come to hear me speak, you know, but we gotta focus on Jesus. Out with the old, in with the new. You know, verses 17 and 23 talk about new thinking. Verse 17 says, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. We need to allow the Holy Spirit in. We need to read the Bible. We need to reflect on it. We need to write it down. Have a pad of paper where you read the Bible in the morning or whenever and write down what God's saying to you and stay there. Like one of the things that happens is like, I know what happens. God might speak on a Sunday morning. I remember when I was in the congregation and God would really speak and, oh God, yes, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna focus on this and we're gonna have a great time. Well, then you get up and you talk to somebody about sports or you talk about the weather, or then you go home and you eat lunch and you turn it to, and you forget what God's doing. That's not conviction. Conviction is dwelling in the place where God is touching you. And I have said multiple times, if you're ever here on a Sunday morning and all of a sudden God gets a hold of you, it's okay to stop listening to me and spend time with God. You can go back and listen to it. If God speaks to you, please don't take it out of context and say you don't have to listen to me. But what I'm saying is, if God says something to you during a message, stay there. Don't say, I'll catch up to it later. No. Stay there and let the Holy Spirit move in you and refresh you. I want to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And that's what breaks my heart about meeting with people that don't know the Lord over the holidays and going to my sister-in-law's funeral and various things is I want you to know Jesus. Because you might have it all. You might have the mountaintop. I mean, I was told this week some guy won $1 billion lottery. That's more than we have. But what happens if he dies tomorrow without Jesus Christ? I get it. But my outlook on life has to trust Jesus Christ explicitly. Verse 18 says, they're darkened in their understanding. You know, a term I coined years ago, you can't get butter from a turnip. I don't expect people that don't know Jesus to act like Christians. Let's be honest, it's hard enough for us to act that way. Or I wouldn't be preaching this message. So I can accept where they're at without approving. And I don't get thrown off by people that aren't walking with God, because what I try to do is build a relationship somehow, and sometimes I bite my tongue, and they're darkened in their understanding. It says, because of the ignorance that is in them. So I pray that God breaks through, that God really destroys the hardness of their heart. You know, Paul saw the local church as a body of believers who ministered to each other, as a group who grew together and enjoyed the fruits of spiritual unity. Humility is essential to spiritual growth. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Nope, because I didn't have it on a slide. Can I say, forgive me, Joanne, I took pleasure in her having mic problems because I like not being the only person that sometimes does this. My problem is that's once in 5 years and I do it weekly. But anyways, John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Close your eyes. Think about that. Jesus, you must increase in Dick Beaumont's life. I got to decrease, Lord. Okay, you can open your eyes. That can make us uncomfortable. But what if God asks me to obey him and I don't get a banner? Or I don't get public recognition? That's hard, I get it. We all have egos. I understand 100%. But I want to be like, John, God, you got to get bigger and I got to get less. You know, throughout this next year, we're going to be looking at practical ways on how can you be a disciple, and you need to be praying for two things. Who can you disciple, not to your way of thinking, but to the Bible? And who do you need to reach out to that may not know the Lord? Because when I grow spiritually, it only happens when I'm committed to it. When I'm committed to reading the Word, when I'm committed to spending time with God. You know, because God knows no matter what, we matter to him. And the key to our happiness is a Christ-centered life. Willie Nelson, the great philosopher, had a video in 2019. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't look in the mirror. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. Now, maybe you don't say that on the outside, but we like life our way. I gotta be me. No, I gotta be Jesus. I gotta be more like him. He must increase and we must decrease. Out with the old, in with the new. I thought it was God that she shared Philippians, because I'm sharing Philippians too. And as I prayed how much of it should I share, I'm just doing the first four verses and she picked up on five. So I think God knows what he's doing. Because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to spend a lot of time in Philippians 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. You may not have heard that. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Some translations consider others better than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I was sharing with somebody this week, and I know we're down in size today. When I first started coming here, we had a pastor named Paul Wagner, and we'd meet at the captain's lounge. And I liked what he said some weeks. When church is over, don't talk to anybody you're friends with for 5 to 10 minutes. What am I saying? When in 10, 15 minutes when we're done, don't get up and talk about the bills. Don't talk about this. Don't say, Lord, who is it you want me to talk to? That is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But I'm comfortable talking to them. Go talk to somebody you're not comfortable with. We want to make a difference. Because one of the powerful testimonies in New Covenant Church is relationships and reaching out to people. But even in that, you go to a men's breakfast or a woman's breakfast, who does God want you to sit with? But all my friends are at that table. Well, then you slap yourself in the head and say, he must increase and I must decrease. So look out not to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. View life through the lens of eternity. We need to allow Philippians 2 to guide our lives. We need to pray. God, help us be humble. Look how often God speaks of humility. He blesses humility. He goes after pride. Because pride takes my eyes off of Christ and it puts it on me. When others say take, Jesus says give. When Jesus says take up your cross daily, society tells you put yourself first, go for the gusto. What does it mean to take up your cross? Die to yourself. saying, God, what is it you want me to do? Now, I think a lot of times the enemy whispers in our ear, we don't do it because, oh, I just know God is going to make us do something we don't want to do. I remember in the late 80s, our pastor went to Ghana, and my wife and I had been praying about maybe, I don't know if it's Brother Stephen, but taking a trip to Eastern Europe where it's, you know, not a million degrees. So a couple years later, they took a trip to Ghana, and as I prayed about it, out of the blue, God said, I don't want you to go. Of course, I told him, I don't want to go. But no, he didn't care about that answer. So what I'm saying is, Lord, I got to do what you want me to do. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm telling you to be willing to be a doormat if God asks you to. They ask you to go 1 mile, go with them too. We need to take a spiritual evaluation, not right now, but when you're by yourself. How is your spiritual life? How is your outlook? You know the person in the congregation that maybe you don't see as much and God has put it on your heart? Yeah, I'm not going to call them. Maybe you should. Maybe we all realize we need to be ministers. We have home groups because fellowship's important to God. You know, I have said for years, we're supposed to be a spiritual hospital. I was talking to our nephew's niece, that's a great niece, whatever you call it. So she's a high school senior, she's gonna go to Albany, she wants to get in the medical field, and there's some high school program where you can go, like be a nurse and go to different things. And she's telling me about being in the ER. I really liked it, and I thought, not me, because they got blood there. You know, and like my dad was an ambulance driver, and I could only listen to so much. But what am I trying to say? If you're an ER nurse or doctor, you kind of know your life might be cruddy that night. You know what I'm saying? It's not like everything's neat. It's like some people are having heart attacks. Some people are bleeding profusely. Some people, well, we don't talk about that. So that's what God wants us to be, inviting. God wants people to be welcome here of all lifestyles. And it might get dirty. Yes, amen and hallelujah. I don't want a clean, mean church because a society isn't neat and clean. I remember when I first became a pastor, I met with this guy, and I was not prepared to what his life was going like, and that he would actually want to share it with me. And I remember just praying, take me home now, Jesus. But he didn't. I said, okay, Lord, I gotta help this guy. This is kind of gross, but I gotta help him. So what am I talking about? Don't worry, I'm gonna wrap it up. We need to frequently read Philippians 2 and pray about it. We are going to be uncomfortable as God prunes us. There's places in my life God's saying, you gotta let go. Does it scare me? Boy, does it. But as God convicts us in areas of our life, we need to look to change to be more like him. You need to pattern your life after Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We need to live this way. In summary, application, we need to embrace and engage Jesus. Don't read the Bible as an afterthought. Read it daily. Let God talk to you. Have a pad of paper as you read it and say, God, what are you speaking to me? What do I need to do? Frequently, I would say at least once a week, read Philippians 2 and pray through and say, God, show me the places where I don't consider others as better than myself. We're talking about out with the old, in with the new. My lifestyle and your lifestyle has to reflect Jesus Christ and what he's doing in you. He must increase. I gotta decrease. Lord Jesus, you have put the word discipleship on the agenda for 2025. That means being a student of yours. That means finding the freedom there is in saying no to ourselves and yes to you. Lord, I can come up here and I can give this message. But I know there's going to be times during the week, as there has been this past month, when you point things out. And it does create anxiety in me. Because I know moving out in faith is never comfortable. If it is, if it wouldn't be faith. So Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be beat up by these messages, but encouraged. That when you show me things that you convict me of, Lord, it's because you love me. It's because you want me to more and more reflect the character of Jesus Christ. It's okay if we stand out, Lord. We don't fit in, per se, with the rest of the world. It doesn't mean we try to be a thorn in the flesh. But I'm going to live for you. I'm going to accept my friends and my acquaintances that don't have you. I accept where they're at, Lord, but I'm not going to improve it. And I pray, Lord, that we would remember what we sang this morning. I was made for more. Oh, Lord, I think we would be dumbfounded if we could see the whole plans you have for our lives, Lord. But faith is taking it one step at a time. So let us pray, Lord. Who is it that doesn't have a relationship with you that you want me to befriend? Lord, who is it you want to commit my life with? Maybe it's praying with them, maybe it's doing a Bible study with them, to strike up a friendship and just encourage them in the faith, Lord. Help us to be disciples, but help us to also look to disciple others, God. We are here to build your kingdom, God. Pray a blessing, Lord, and let us remember you need to increase and I need to decrease if I want your peace, O Lord. So thank you for everyone who came out this morning, Lord. Bless them as they go home. Bless those who are watching at home. To you be the glory, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, and they all said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.